The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Joseph Scriven was a man blessed with health, education, and a devoted family in the 1800s. Unfortunately, tragedy began to enter into his life, and one night, after an evening service just before his scheduled wedding, his fiancée drowned. In deep sorrow, he did his best to try to serve and try to help others, but he felt like he just couldn't get away from the sorrow and the tragedy that had come into his life. On one occasion, he sat down and he began to write some poetry and began to write a book of poems and different writings. He kept those poems to try to encourage himself, and later in his life, as he was very ill and up in years, a man came to visit Mr. Scriven and noticed some of the papers on the little nightstand next to his bed. Began to look through some of the papers, and he saw one in particular, and he said, "Who wrote these beautiful words?" And Joseph Scriven said, "The Lord and I did it between us." And he said, "Would you give me permission to take these words and put them to music?" And Mr. Scriven said, "Why, if you'd like to, you feel free to do that." And it was from a broken-hearted poet and a friend who found those words that we have tonight the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Joseph Scriven had discovered that when difficulties and trials had come into his life, there was a friend that would stick closer than a brother, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us about Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it tells us about his office as the mediator of our prayers. And in your notes, you'll see the verse there, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." I'm so glad tonight that unlike other places of worship, we are not here in this service to point ourselves to a pastor or a priest or a pope or some other religious person in time of need, but that we are here tonight to say that when our heart is heavy, there is one that we can turn to, and his name is Jesus Christ. Not underestimating the power of a local body of believers, the love of a church, but I'm so thankful tonight that we have a mediator whose name is Jesus Christ, and that he is at the right hand of God the Father, ready to hear us, ready to help us, and ready to give us grace at any moment. And I want to speak to you tonight about Jesus, our gracious mediator. I want you to notice in this text tonight that he is a constant mediator. The Bible says in verse 14, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God." Now, the reason that we are directed to Jesus is because he is the great high priest. There are many today that would call themselves priests, but there is one great high priest. There is one the scriptures tell us to come to with our prayers and with our burdens, and it is Jesus Christ. And we see in verse 14 that he is a resurrected mediator. Notice that phrase. It says, "A great high priest that is passed into the heavens." After our Lord's literal bodily resurrection, the Bible tells us that he ascended to heaven, and that he is now at the right hand of God the Father making intercession. Can I tell you very simply what that means? It means that he is ready to hear from you right now tonight. He is seated there in that intercessory prayer place, waiting to hear our prayer. Hebrews 10 and verse 10. "But by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." The Lord Jesus Christ offered one sacrifice that covers the sins of every believer forever. By the way, how many of you are thankful for that? I was witnessing to a man recently who said he's trying to have his sins absolved by being a good person and doing good works, and by going to church enough, he hopes to have his sins absolved. And I had the privilege of showing him that our sins were absolved in a moment's time on the cross of Calvary when Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." And when Jesus shed his blood and when Jesus died for our sins, then he arose up to be at the right hand of God the Father. And it's interesting. When you study in the Old Testament the tabernacle and the temple, you'll find that amongst the furniture, there's the table of showbread, there's the candlestick, and there's various furniture that is mentioned, the various lavers and such. But you'll not find mentioned a chair in the temple or in the tabernacle. And that is because the priest's daily tasks were never finished. The priest did not go into the temple to sit down and rest. But I want you to understand that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Heavenly Father tonight because his task is accomplished. He has finished the payment for all of our sins when he shed his blood. So he is a resurrected mediator. How many of you are thankful tonight we do not pray to a stone god? We do not pray to a man behind a confessional booth. We pray to the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is also our redeeming mediator. The Bible says in verse 14, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." This word profession speaks of our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it speaks of the fact that we have professed Jesus Christ and confessed Jesus Christ as our Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and it is the man Christ Jesus." Now, I love church and I love revival meetings and I spend an awful lot of time here. It's a good thing I love being here, but I want to tell you something. We're not always together able to support one another and encourage one another, but there is one that will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is always available for us, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's a constant mediator. Anywhere, anytime, he wants you to know that you can bring your prayers to him and that as the high priest, he brings them directly to the Father. We don't go through a man to get our prayers to God. We go directly to the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God the Father even tonight. He is a constant mediator, constantly available, constantly there for you and for me. But notice, secondly, he is a compassionate mediator. Now, the Bible refers to Jesus as our mediator, and notice in verse 15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now, I want you just to stop and think about this for a moment. Jesus, the high priest, empathizes with our infirmities. It says, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched." Jesus Christ can be touched sympathetically with the feelings that we have tonight. Many times you'll go through times in your life, and no doubt tonight for the Whitman family, there are feelings that cannot hardly be uttered. And many of you have had times like that in your life. But I want you to understand something. Jesus can still be touched with that. Even when our prayers are words, or not even words, just the groaning of a soul, Jesus understands that. And the Bible says that he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. The word infirmity means a want for strength or weakness. And sometimes we have these points of infirmity. Jesus was tested in all points. Now, thank God tonight that Jesus Christ never sinned. We believe that Jesus Christ was the perfect Son of God. But he was tempted in all points. And we know that when we have physical pain, Jesus understands that. Because the Bible shows us that on the cross of Calvary, he was beaten, he was marred, he endured physical pain. And when we pray to him, he understands those infirmities. We know that when a dear friend was placed in a tomb, the Bible, in the shortest verse of the Bible, tells us just these two words, "Jesus wept." And we understand from that we have a Savior who understands our feelings. He can be touched. He empathizes with the infirmities of our heart. And I'm so thankful tonight that we have not only a constantly available mediator, but we have a compassionate Savior. and that he understands loss, and that he understands hurt, and he understands care, and wants each and every one of us to come to him in those times of need. And everybody wants someone to understand, but there are some times when we can't find that someone until we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he always understands. He empathizes with our infirmities. He also enters into our infirmities with us. Notice that in verse 15 it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." In other words, when Jesus left heaven's glory, and when he came down to this earth, and when he took on the form of a man, and when he began to go through the rigors of life and experience trials and temptations and pain and loss, Jesus Christ doesn't just understand because he is God, though that would be a correct statement. He is all-knowing. He understands because he became man, and he came down to us, and he endured the trials and difficulties of this life here on this earth, and he was tempted in all points like as we are. And so Jesus Christ not only empathizes, but he entered into our infirmities. And I got to tell you, that's a tremendous comfort to me tonight. And when we have times like this in our lives where we're overwhelmed and where we can't really understand and our heart is so heavy, it's a tremendous blessing to be able to come into the throne of grace and to know that he is there and to know that he has been where we are and that he's entered into this world with us, and that he understands how we feel, and that he wants us to come to him. These are the times when you find out if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A time to come in and talk to him. A time to know his comfort. And a time to feel, and a time to have your sense felt by him. And so he empathizes with us, and he has entered into our infirmities. Christ was tested in every way to show that he was flawless. And what a comfort to know that when we approach the throne of grace, we're coming to someone who has already been there. And I want to remind you tonight, church, that you can bring every care and every burden to the Lord. Every care and every burden. Sometimes you'll have a week where you're going 18, 20 hours a day, and maybe some of you are caretakers and you're involved in different things. But I want to tell you that when you take that few moments to step aside and just give your heart to the Lord and maybe to shed some tears over a broken heart, he is right there and he is ready and he understands and he feels and he gives you grace so that you can go back doing what he's called you to do. In your notes tonight, I've just listed some cares you can bring to Jesus. The Bible tells us we can bring our worries to him. The word care speaks of worries. It speaks of anxiety. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Casting all your cares upon him," because he cares for you. And you can bring your cares to him. He cares for you. I don't know about you. There have been times when I've tried to cast my cares on someone, but I'm not so sure they really cared for me. I've cast my cares. But the Bible specifically says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Sometimes I've gone to Dr. Sisk and I'll have a big burden on my heart and I'll say, "Dr. Sisk, here's my big burden." And he'll look at me and he'll say, "Pastor, take a baby aspirin and get over it." You know, that's not exactly what I was expecting to hear. You know, I wanted to hear some violins and some sympathy. But I got to tell you something. When I cast my cares on the Lord, he always cares for me. And I'm so thankful for that. Philippians 4 and verse 6, notice this. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God wants you to have that tonight. Now, whether you receive that is entirely up to you. But if you make the choice to bring your burden to him, God has that peace for you. Bring your hurts to him tonight. The Bible says in Psalm 55 and verse 22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." You can bring your hurts. You can bring your burdens to him tonight. And then I want you to know tonight, you can bring your fears to him tonight. David had a time in his life when he was so fearful, so overwhelmed. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David found a way to encourage himself by meditating on the principles of God and the person of God. And he realized that he could trust God. And then notice, if you would, Psalm 56:3. At what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Would you say that verse with me briefly tonight? Ready, begin. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He doesn't say, if I'm ever afraid. He says, essentially, when I am. And all of us have times in our life when we're overwhelmed, we have burdens, we have things we don't understand. And David said, at what time, when this happens, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what the flesh can do unto me. And so we see the heart of this psalmist was to trust God with his fears. Now, what we want to remember tonight about Jesus, he is a constant mediator, seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. Listen, when the accuser, when the devil brings accusation against us, Jesus pleads our case before the Father. He's the mediator. And when the devil says how bad we are, Jesus says, but Father, I paid for their sin on the cross, and the blood of Jesus Christ still speaks out forgiveness tonight. Aren't you thankful for that? Constantly Jesus is there. Constantly he's there. And compassionately he's there. And he feels our infirmities. And he knows and understands the hurts of our heart. But then I want you to know, not only is he constantly there, not only is he compassionately there, but Jesus is also a comforting mediator. Now, look at verse 16 tonight as we come to this last verse. It says, let us therefore. Now, when you see the word therefore, you always want to go back and see what it's there for. Since we have this great high priest, let us therefore come to him. And sometimes we can forget to do just that. So verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now notice, first of all, tonight, a comforting invitation. Here is an invitation from God's word. And it says, come. And that word means to approach. And I'm thankful tonight that while I may not be able to approach the Queen in Buckingham Palace or Bill Gates in his executive offices, and there's lots of places we can't get entrance into, that the place that really matters, the throne of grace, is always available. And God says, come. I want you to come. Approach me. And then he says something that I think sometimes we can read and not really let it sink in. So let's look at this, verse 16. Let us therefore come. But what's the next word say? Boldly. God says, I want you to come right in. I want you to speak right up. I want you to let me know what's on your heart. I want you to come in boldly to me. Sometimes we may think God doesn't want to hear from me. We may think we're not worthy. We may think a lot of things. But the fact is, and the biblical fact is, God is always there, always ready for us to come in boldly and to speak to him. E.M. Bounds said, prayer is the language of a man burdened with a sense of need. It is the voice of the beggar, conscious of his poverty, asking of another the things he needs. In other words, we don't need to act like we've got it all together. God knows we don't, so we might as well just come boldly and tell him what we need. Hebrews chapter 10, notice in your notes. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The only realization of self that we need is that we have a Redeemer. It's not about us, it's about him and coming directly and boldly to him. And he gives us a comforting invitation. He says, I want you to come to me, come boldly to me. And then notice, secondly, he gives us a consoling grace. A consoling grace. Now it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, grace is that inner disposition created by the Holy Spirit. Grace is strength when I am weak. Grace is forgiveness. Grace is the ability to love and to show forth the attributes of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. Grace. It's not something that I, in my flesh, would be or could do, but by His power, I can be these things. That's what Paul meant when he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can't do this on my own, but through Christ, I can go another day. And through Christ, I can go another week. And through Christ, I can be faithful. And so the Bible says that we can find grace to help in time of need. And God says it's not a treasure hunt. It's not one of these things that you're never going to find it. It's just here. If you'll come in boldly, you're going to find God has grace for you. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The power that worketh in us. That's that grace that God gives. That's the grace that God gives when you feel like you can't go another step. When your heart or your mind is overwhelmed and thoughts flooding in and you feel like you can't sleep, God says, I'm going to right there give you the power that works in you, that will accomplish in you what you need. Robert Murray McShane said, God will either give you what you ask or something far better. God will give you strength and He'll help you along the way. He has grace. He has strengthening grace. He also has sustaining grace. This phrase, find grace to help. To help. All of us need help tonight, and all of us need help at different levels, and all of us grieve differently, and all of us have varied burdens, none greater than this dear family in front of me tonight. But I want you to know that whatever the level of grief, God has a greater level of grace. He always does. His grace is always sufficient. And He's going to give us what we need for each and every moment. That's why God said to Paul, My grace is sufficient. And Paul said, Lord, would you heal me of this infirmity? Would you take away this problem? I don't want this problem. And Jesus said, Paul, My grace is sufficient for you. And sometimes if we try to look at big pictures and long-range planning, we can't figure it out. But what I've found is that God gives us our daily bread. He gives us the grace that we need for today and then the next day and then the next day and throughout all of our days. Notice what it says there in 2 Corinthians. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. Notice it says, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now church, if I could just speak to you as a church family, if you feel weakened in your spirit, like I do tonight, if you feel even maybe physically a little bit weak, if you feel a lack of understanding, if you feel a lack of strength, I want you to know this tonight. You are a candidate for the mighty strength and power that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when I am weak, then I can have His strength. And I believe tonight that should be all of our prayer. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, give me the strength that comes from your grace. He says, My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul said something that I've not always been able to say real easily. And I want to say it to you because it's in the Word of God. And I want to challenge you to say it. But notice what he says there in that verse number 9. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, literally, when he was stoned at Lystra, when he was snake-bitten at Malta, he said, when those times came on me, they were difficult physical times, but those were the times when God's power really came into his life. And so he said, I've learned that God's going to do something in those times. And I believe this tonight, God makes no mistakes, and we need to trust him during those difficult times for strength. Job 23, verse 8, Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job said, sometimes I have trouble seeing God in this. I go to the left, I go to the right. I have trouble understanding. What's God doing? And by the way, if there was ever a man who could wonder that, it was Job. You understand what I'm saying? He said, I can't see God in this. I can't understand this. And I want to tell you something tonight. It's okay when you can't understand something. We don't have to understand everything. And here, Job didn't understand. But look at that verse there in your notes, Job 23:10. And I want to say it together. Job 23:10, ready, begin. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Let God purify your life. Let this be a time of refining in your life and come forth as gold. Spurgeon said, in all states of dilemma or difficulty, prayer is an available source. The ship of prayer may sail through all temptations, doubts, and fears straight up to the throne of God. And though she may be outward bound with only griefs and groans and sighs, she shall return freighted with a wealth of blessing. God will bring us back filled with His grace and filled with His blessing. I want you to remember how wonderful Jesus is tonight. I want you to remember He is constantly there for you, constantly a mediator that is available. I want you to remember He is compassionately available. He was tempted in all points like as we are. He entered into the infirmities of this life so that when we pray, we have a high priest who understands. And I'm thankful for that compassion tonight. And then I want you to understand He's a comforting mediator, because when we come boldly to that throne of grace, He says, I want to give you help right now in your time of need. And I say this tonight, if He gave it to Job and if He gave it to Paul, He's the same God. He can give it to us tonight. But we must come to that same throne. We must come boldly to Him and say, God, I'll admit I'm weak and I need your grace tonight to strengthen me. Four things let us ever keep in mind, E.M. Bounds said. God hears prayer. God heeds prayer. God answers prayer. And God delivers by prayer. And God is looking for a praying people tonight who will come in boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. If you are in a time of need tonight, then God has superabundant grace to those who just come in and ask. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And I'm going to encourage you tonight that you take some time to come boldly. You say, I can do this tomorrow. I can do it anywhere, because Jesus is seated at the right hand and He's always available. And you're 100% right. But I believe right now, tonight, would be the time for many of us at this altar, in our chairs, wherever, to just come and say, Lord, I'm weak. Give me your grace and give me your strength. And Lord, give strength to the Whitmans and give strength to these children. And God, help us to be a church just trusting you, because we do believe that we have a friend in Jesus and that we can cast every burden on Him. And let's practice what the Lord's called us to do. He's invited us. Now let us come to Him. Shall we stand together tonight? And let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight that you invite us to just come boldly. And so, Lord, as we've been having these prayer meetings this month for our revival meeting, we find tonight that we're coming to pray about not only the revival, but a great burden on our hearts. And we're coming to pray for people we love. And we're coming to pray for grace to sustain us and to help us. And so I pray, Lord, that this would be a precious time of prayer. I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would come and let one of our pastoral staff show them how they could be a Christian. And then, Lord, I pray that you would lift up burdens tonight and help us as we cast our every care upon you. Help us, like Job of old, to say, I shall come forth as gold. Help us to trust these promises, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We'd have some of our pastoral staff here at the front. If you need to pray with someone or get some counsel tonight, would you let one of these men know? And right now, as the piano's playing, if God's spoken in your heart, would you come and just come boldly to the throne of grace? Just find a place to kneel. Don't worry about whatever anyone else thinks or does. Just you and the Lord right now, just taking time to come boldly to the throne of grace. Find grace to help. There's grace to help. Our Father in heaven, how we again thank you that we can come boldly. We thank you for your grace. We pray that we would experience that grace each and every morning. Father, how we've missed Brother Jeremy these last many months. And Father, we now miss him tonight in such a different way. But we trust your plan, Lord, and we ask that your will would be done in our lives, that we might be faithful and that we might grow and become purified and come forth as gold. I pray that even through the revival meeting, you would just speak to hearts, that you would show us, Lord, how weak we really are, how susceptible we are, and how our strength can only be found in you. I pray that you would use this trial to touch teenagers and children and moms and dads, single adults, that we would be sober and faithful and true. And Father, where the devil would cause doubt and ruin, hate and gossip, may we as your people walk in the Spirit and find that character is built and lives are strengthened and souls are saved, because we know that you can work all things for good. And so we pray that you will, and we pray in Jesus' name.